And now we've got Tom Jensen on the phone. He's the director of public policy polling based out of Raleigh. Publicpolicypolling.com is the website, and you can find them on social media at PPP Polls. Tom, thanks for being with us today.
Hey, Aaron. Good to be with you.
We just got done hearing the report from Rob Schofield of Policy Watch about Tom Tillis, which is something that a lot of us in North Carolina have been following for the last couple of weeks. Senator Tillis coming out very strongly and early by Republican standards against Donald Trump's emergency declaration, saying he was going to back a resolution to oppose it and try to block it. And then at the last minute, ended up flipping and supporting Trump's emergency declaration. After all, what was the motivation behind that, and where does that leave him in terms of re-election chances? Because a lot of the Republican senators in particular who were kind of in the spotlight with that decision were senators like Tillis who were going to be up for re-election in 2020. So what does all this mean for him next year?
Well, I think that Tillis pretty clearly changed his vote because he saw a precipitous decline in his approval rating with Trump voters after he announced that he was going to oppose Trump on the emergency declaration. We've talked plenty over the last few months and really years about how Tillis isn't that popular. And usually he has about a 30% approval rating, a 35% disapproval rating. 2 weeks ago, after he announced that he was going to oppose Trump on the emergency declaration, we did a poll, and we found that Tillis's approval, which again is usually around 30%, had dropped down to 24%. But more notably, his disapproval, which is usually around 35%, had spiked all the way up to 53%. So he went from having a minus 5 approval rating, more or less, most of the time, all of a sudden to a minus 29 approval rating. And it was very clear when we looked inside this poll that it was because his numbers just cratered with Trump voters. He was actually upside down with Trump voters after he made that announcement. We found that only 34% of Trump voters said that they approved of the job he was doing. 42% said they disapproved. And then, of course, there started to be all this talk that he might face a primary challenge next year, that Mark Walker, the congressman for the Triad, might run against him. People wanted Mark Meadows from out in the mountains to run against him. And then, of course, we all of a sudden saw him flip. But that is why he flipped, is because his approval numbers with Trump voters just completely collapsed after he said he was going to do that.
And this is something that we've been talking about before with different elected officials on a national level. If they're Republicans, then their support among Republicans is increasingly contingent on whether or not they're falling in line with Trump's policy positions. And if they take a stand against him, they lose support with all of the Trump voters, but they don't gain any support with Democrats or progressives or independents because all the people on that side have already decided to kind of push away from the Republican Party in the first place, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, people ask all the time, why don't more Republicans stand up to Trump? And this little episode, I think, really is the absolute answer to why more Republicans don't stand up to Trump. If you stand up to Trump as a Republican on even just one thing like this, all of a sudden the Trump folks turn on you. And as you noted, it's not like there's any sort of parallel increase in support from Democrats who appreciate you taking that stance. With Clinton voters on the same poll, Tillis had a 13% approval rating and 65% disapproval. So, you know, it's really a situation where you can't blame the Clinton voters. Their attitude on this is going to be, well, just because you did the right thing one time doesn't mean that all of a sudden we're going to like you when we think you've done the wrong thing all the rest of the time. Whereas one time going against Trump for the Trump people does turn them against you, even if you've been with Trump on everything else. So, you know, we'd love to believe that politicians are up in Washington, D.C. making decisions on principle. The reality is that most politicians up in Washington, D.C. care little about anything besides getting reelected. If all you care about is getting reelected as a Republican politician, then you are generally going to be better off just standing with Trump on stuff. The thing is, though, with Tillis, he was already in trouble for reelection next year. We found him on a couple different polls tied with a generic Democratic candidate, and that was before this whole episode. And I think this episode even if his approval numbers creep back up with Trump voters after he did end up going with Trump in the end, I don't think this episode can possibly turn out being a net positive for Tillis, because it certainly makes him look weak, makes him look indecisive, and those aren't attributes that usually tend to be good for politicians' reelection. So I already thought that Tillis's race was pretty 50-50, and I certainly think that this episode, if it had any impact, probably made things worse for Tillis than they already were.
And do we have any numbers to suggest what the effect was of him flipping back and supporting Trump in the first place? Or the second place?
We haven't done any new polling in the last week, but what I would expect you would see is that he is somewhere in between where his numbers were originally and where they were after he announced that he was going to vote for the declaration. He'll get a lot of those Trump voters back, but he probably won't get all of them back, because that's the other thing sort of about the Trump cult, is that even if you just suggested that you weren't going to go with something that Trump was going to do or that Trump wanted, that's going to turn some of his people against you. So I don't think Tillis is going to get everything back that he lost there. I've still seen plenty of Republicans saying, oh, we still need to put somebody up against him in the primary. And I also think that those 22% of Clinton voters who we found on this poll on the fence about Tillis certainly probably have not been won over by him saying that we needed to stand up to Trump and then coming back, you know, a couple weeks later and saying, actually, we don't need to stand up for Trump. So it'll be interesting to see how Tillis approaches things here over the next 20 months. I'm guessing that you're going to see him be pretty party line, because this whole thing just showed that for him, for flirting with anything other than party line just wasn't very helpful.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, and again, find out more numbers online at publicpolicypolling.com or on social media at PPPpolls on Twitter. So with that dynamic heading into the 2020 election, it seems like Republicans' really only chance of winning elections is going to be if there are enough Trump supporters to overcome the fact that all of the non-Trump supporters are going to be probably going the other way. So that leads us to the presidential question. Where do things stand right now in terms of Trump versus whatever Democrat ends up running against him?
Well, we did a national poll last week and found that against a generic Democratic opponent, Trump trails 52 to 41. And that 41 number has some real meaning to it, because when we did a national poll in January, where we tested Trump against a bunch of specific Democrats, no matter which Democrat we tested against him, Trump got 41 or 42%. The different Democrats got different levels of support depending on how well known they were. But the constant was that Trump was sort of in that 40, 41, 42% range. And we see on this poll that that continues to be the case, that Trump is still sort of caught in that 40, 41, 42% range. So definitely, I think the question is whether Democrats can get somebody who's good enough to be to match generic. Certainly, I think the way that Trump won in 2016, even though he wasn't that well liked on his own merits, was that he managed to convince voters that Hillary Clinton would be even worse than him. So a number of people who didn't really like Trump ended up voting for him anyway because of that dynamic. Right now, I don't think any of the leading Democratic candidates really can be twisted as negatively as Trump was able to do with the Democrats. But, you know, there's plenty of time for that to sort of transpire in the coming months. But at least generically, Trump starts out in a pretty big hole.
I was going to ask about the Democratic candidates. You're hearing a lot of, I mean, there's a million Democrats that are all running for president at this point, and you're hearing a lot of noise on social media and just sort of in general public conversation about them. You've got the more centrist candidates who are more mainstream, have been around for a while, and progressives are criticizing them for being too far to the right. You've got the more progressive candidates that seem to be kind of more insurgent, and they're being criticized for being too far to the left and not being electable enough. Is all of that just noise, or are there particular candidates that are polling better than others over and above just having better name recognition?
Well, the big picture impact that all of that Democratic infighting is having was shown on a national poll that somebody else did in the last week or two, and I can't remember who it was off the top of my head, but it showed that every Democratic candidate except for Joe Biden had a net negative favorability rating with voters nationally. And the reason that every Democrat had a net negative favorability rating with voters nationally was because Republicans were pretty united in saying that they disliked each of the Democratic candidates. And then Democrats were much more divided about whether they liked each of the individual candidates because of this sort of infighting. So if you're at like 10% favorable, 70% unfavorable with Republicans because they're pretty unified in saying they don't like any of the Democrats, and then you're only at 55% favorable, 25% favorable with Democrats as a Democrat because a quarter of Democrats don't like you because they want somebody from a different wing of the party or whatever the case might be, then you end up with everybody having a negative favorability rating. And, you know, a lot of that stuff gets healed over time. And certainly, for instance, Hillary Clinton's favorability rating in 2016 got better once she was the Democratic nominee and Bernie Sanders had gotten behind her and everything. But I think we are going to see, because of this infighting within the Democratic Party for a while, that it's going to look like almost none of the candidates are particularly popular.
Where does it stand in terms of the various Democratic candidates heading into the primary? I know there was a straw poll in Iowa recently.
Yeah, we did a poll in Iowa, and we found, and this is really sort of reflective of the Democratic polling in general, we found that Joe Biden was in first and Bernie Sanders was in second, and that's pretty much whether you look at a national poll or a poll in a specific state, that's pretty much how you see things shake out. And then none of the rest of the Democratic candidates were even in double digits. And what's sort of interesting is that for everything that's happened with the Democratic field over the last 27 months, the first time that we ever did a poll on who Democrats wanted in 2020 was in December of 2016, the month after Trump won. And when we did that poll in December of 2016, the month after Trump won, it was Biden, then Sanders, then everybody else way behind. And even though we have all these candidates in the race now and they're getting a lot of attention, it's still Biden, then Sanders, and everybody else way behind. And something that we found on that initial poll that we did in December of 2016 that holds true, that I think is really important context when it comes to these results, is that when you ask people how old they want the next Democratic candidate to be, they want someone in their 40s or their 50s. They do not want someone in their 70s. So there's a disconnect between sort of generally what kind of profile Democrats want their candidate to have, and then when you put the names out there of who they say they want. And that's why I think that even though Biden and Sanders are ahead now, they aren't necessarily going to be ahead forever. I think that some of these newer, younger Democratic candidates, as they become better known, have the chance to sort of catch fire and get a lot further up in these rankings right now than they are at the current time.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, Public Policy Polling, and as we wrap up this conversation, I know you just did a survey recently on President Trump's proposed budget and specifically the cuts that are being proposed to Medicare and Medicaid and what Americans thought about that. What are the numbers that people ought to know?
Well, I think something that's really notable is we talk all the time about how Trump supporters sort of get behind him on everything he does. These proposed cuts he's made to Medicare are the very rare exception to the rule. Only 24% of Trump voters support his proposed cuts to Medicare. 57% are opposed to him. Overall, it's 13% support, 72% opposition. But that really is something that stands out and shows sort of what a sacred cow Medicare is in American politics, that even Trump voters will say, no, Trump, you should not do that, on something which is very rare for them to do. And we found also that by a 39-point margin, voters are less likely to vote for him because of these proposed cuts that he's made to Medicare and Medicaid. So we talk about how Trump's in a hole to begin with, 42% approval, 54% disapproval. There's not a lot that we've talked about over the years. There's not a lot that gets people to shift their minds about Trump one way or the other. But if he really goes through with and succeeds in getting these cuts to Medicare, that's one of those rare things that could cause people who have been with him on everything else to turn against him a little bit.
PublicPolicyPolling.com for more numbers nationally and statewide. Also find Public Policy Polling on Twitter at PPP Polls. Tom Jensen, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.